Okay, for the next couple hours, we'll be chatting with Dr. Eric Pearl. I run into Eric at the various conferences around the country. He does a phenomenal job. His latest work, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. We'll get into universal energy in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Dr. Eric Pearl. Walked away from one of the most successful chiropractic practices in the Los Angeles area when he and others started witnessing some very extraordinary healings. Now he has become the preeminent authority and acknowledged visionary in a new level of healing and life evolution on the planet. He has committed himself to sharing the light and information of what is called the reconnective healing process through very extensive lectures and seminars about the reconnection. Here's Dr. Eric Pearl back on Coast to Coast. Hello, Eric. How are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. It's been a while. You've been on Coast, but I just ran into you at a conference, so there you are.
See what happens. We should run into each other more often.
I think so, too. Tell me a little bit more about what happened to you, how you gave up your practice to concentrate on the healing process.
Well, I had practiced as a doctor of chiropractic for about 12 years when one night a few strange occurrences took place. I was awakened in the middle of the night by a very bright light. I opened my eyes to see what it was, and it was not anything seemingly spiritual or metaphysical. It was simply the lamp next to my bed. It had, for some reason, decided to turn itself on. I knew of electrical things shutting themselves off due to electrical shorts. I hadn't heard of an electrical long, but there it was. The lamp came on, and I had a very clear, distinct understanding that I had been being watched. Someone was in my home while I was asleep watching me. I didn't know who it was or how, but let's just say I got up bravely with a knife and a can of pepper spray and my Doberman pincher, and I went hunting.
Just in case.
Just in case. And let me tell you, Doberman pinchers are not the hunting dogs that people think they are. But anyway, I went to the house looking, couldn't find anyone, and I told myself it had to be my imagination. So I went back to sleep, but that Monday when I went into my office, 7 of my patients, independently of one another, began to insist that while they were lying there on my chiropractic table with their eyes closed, they felt pairs of hands resting on them and even underneath them, stroking their forehead or their forearms. And they could feel where my hands were. As their eyes were closed and I held my hands in various directions towards them, several inches to feet to yards away, their bodies would go into involuntary movements, fingers and feet would move, arms and legs would jerk, tiny, tiny, tiny involuntary little muscles in their forehead or their chin would ripple the way water would appear to ripple if you drop a pebble into it, pulling at their eyebrows or their lips. When they'd open their eyes, they started reporting that they were seeing colors they'd never seen before, smelling fragrances they'd never before smelled, and they started reporting healings, real healings. They were getting up out of wheelchairs, some of them, vision and hearing returning. Children with cerebral palsy or epilepsy were suddenly able to walk and run and play and speak normally, not need medications. Doctors would call me, parents would call me, the patients would call me themselves. They'd say, "What did you do?" I said, "I didn't do anything, and don't tell anybody," which went over about as big as Nancy Reagan trying to just say no to drugs. So soon everyone started coming in asking for the same thing, and not too long following that, people began to ask me to teach this, and people began to ask me if they could research it. And I said, "Teach it? You've got to be insane." I said, "I'm standing here, I'm waving my hands in the air looking like a fool. So you go outside, wave your hands in the air, let me know what your neighbors have to say about you." But my patients would call, they say they drove home and they pulled up in front of their house, their automatic garage door started to open and close automatically. They walked inside their house, their lamp or their TV started turning itself on and off. They would hold their hands near someone in their family, and the grandfather could walk after the stroke, and the uncle regained his hearing. And that's when we began to discover that once we reconnect with this more comprehensive spectrum of healing, that's something that takes us beyond the energy that we've had here on the planet before into an expanded spectrum of energy, light, and information, that it You could say it activates something that may have been dormant within us, it may have been recessive, but somehow it turns something on that allows us to not only receive our own healings, but to be able to facilitate healings for others. And as strange and as this all sounds, George, as you know, what we'll probably get into somewhere this evening, is this is only scratching the surface of the weird.
It sure is. It sure is. And you have taught this now to what? How many people all around the world?
So far, I've trained between about 75 to 100,000 people in full weekend seminars. I've spoken to, I've addressed millions and millions. I just flew in maybe 48 hours ago from giving an 800-person seminar in Paris.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, and do you find that people worldwide now, Eric, are simply fascinated by this and are beginning to understand it?
They're clamoring for it. They're beginning to become more familiar with it, and yet the understanding of it, we're only scratching the surface of that as well. Thank God, just like aspirin or electricity, we don't have to understand them and they still work.
Well, absolutely. Now, as this continues, this tapping into this universal energy force, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, we were created, there's a divine creator, that this is not an accident. This seems to be part of the plan, doesn't it?
I say it absolutely is part of the plan. I feel that we might be looking in the wrong direction when we're looking for metal spaceships to land carrying extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. that multidimensional existence is right here beside us, within us, surrounding us at all times, and we haven't yet fully allowed ourselves to tune in. You know, when people talk about, for instance, Daniel Brinkley or others, when they talk about the life after death experience, they often talk about seeing people that they've known from this lifetime and other lifetimes and that they haven't known, showing up as they're moving towards that light, almost as if it's an encouragement, saying, yes, you're moving in the right path, this is the right direction, go ahead. It's as if you're at the 50-yard line of a triathlon, and none of them are going to jump out of the sidelines with their motorcycle and a sidecar and say, hop in, kiddo, I'm going to take you there. But they're going to say, you're almost there, and encourage you on your way. And I believe very, very strongly, I would say I know that humanity is at the 50-yard line of the next level of our evolution, and the different various dimensions of life are jumping out and showing up at the sidelines saying, let's encourage humanity. They're at the last 50 yards.
Is there a difference between this reconnective healing and what we believe to be energy healing?
It's a more expanded form. It's not different. It includes energy and takes us further. We've been living, according to, you could say, quantum physics, in a little, what they would illustrate as a bubble of time, height, width, depth, and time. Time being, of course, an illusion, yet an illusion that's very real for us because we've created it. So everything within this bubble of time, just as we've always been taught, has been energy. And when we use energy healing techniques, a technique has us focus in on something. So the Reiki technique has us focus in on the Reiki subset of energy, the Qigong technique, the Alpha Beta Delta technique, quantum this, mattress that, whatever we want to call them. Every technique is a focusing in. So when we focus in on something, we lose the larger part of the picture. It's like focusing in on a part of the heavens. We see that more clearly, but we lose the rest of it. And so we pick up the telescope of technique again, and we focus in on another part of the heavens and another part. But eventually, our soul yearns to see the larger picture. And in order to do that, we have to take what we've learned from our telescopic views, place the telescopes down, and extrapolate into the larger the fuller picture. And what we're being called on today to do is to let go of the telescopic focusing in on portions of energy via technique, and to remove technique, to transcend technique itself, because the true gift of technique comes in its transcendence. It's just as if you have a child or a grandchild, you want to teach the beginnings of how to discover mastery of the bicycle. Well, we give them training wheels, and they begin to discover their balance on the training wheels. These are the techniques that we're using in energy, the training wheels on the bicycle. But once they master that bicycle with training wheels, George, do you add a second or a third or a fourth set?
That's a good point.
Retake them off, because they might master the bicycle with 16 sets of training wheels, and we can give them certificates for all of those that they can proudly, with their egos, pin on their walls. But we know that they'll never master the bicycle until they transcend or remove the training wheels. We are being given technique after technique after technique, but we're coming to a part in our evolution where it's really challenging us to step into our fullness to say, am I willing to remove the training wheels? Do I really need Reiki number 436, or can I just access the healing? But that's only a part of the gift, because once we remove the training wheels, the techniques, we can access the entirety of energy. But we are moving into this time where time is moving faster in all directions at once. Time is expanding. The illusion of time is opening up and expanding, just as when you blow up a balloon with helium and blow it up larger and larger and larger, the walls of the balloon become thinner and thinner. The helium escapes more easily. Pretty soon, the walls of this illusion of time are thinning and will disappear, and we will extend beyond the limitations of time, which means beyond energy, into spectrums of light and information that have never existed within that time illusion. So they are here for the first time. They're not old. They're not from a past life. They're new, since it's here for their in their first presence. And this concept can tend to royally piss off a lot of people in some regions who want everything to be old. But as you well know, we are not only here for what is old to be remembered. We are also here to step into and discover what is new, our own power, to reclaim our own power, our essence. And what many of the scientists are recognizing and discovering when they study reconnective healing is that we are accessing levels of light and information that they say they've simply not seen on the planet prior to now. So it's this generation that is anchoring in the next level of human evolution as we allow ourselves to do so.
Your new work is called Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life. Explain that.
Well, as these healings started showing up, as I would hold my hands near some of my patients, this first patient being Fred Ponslove, who's the co-author of Solomon Speaks, his head jerked back, his eyes rolled to the top of his head, his arms began to move, his tongue moved, air audibly escaped through his mouth, and the air sound condensed itself into a voice, and the voice said, "We are here to tell you to continue doing what you were doing. What you were doing is bringing light and information onto the planet." Then he said a few other things, and I kind of touched him lightly to see if I could bring him back to consciousness. And he explained to me that he had felt the presence of this voice wanting to speak in him since he was a child, but this time it sort of escaped. It came out, and he spoke those words. So I assumed that this was something unique to Fred, some kind of a Fred experience. Maybe he is a channel, maybe he's a lunatic, I don't know. But 2 days later, three other patients of mine, none of whom who knew one another, their head jerked, eyes rolled, mouth open, tongue moved, air escaped, and they spoke those same first two phrases that Fred spoke. They said, "We are here to tell you to continue doing what you were doing. What you were doing is bringing light and information onto the planet." Two of them added, "What you're doing is reconnecting strands." One of them said, "What you're doing is reconnecting strings." Fred came back in a few days later, added what you're doing is reconnecting strings. A few days later, it happened to five other patients. All in all, over a three-month period of time, over 50, 5-0, different patients of mine lost consciousness and spoke six word-for-word phrases. And as I was in the awe and wonder of what was going on, at the three-month mark, suddenly it didn't stop coming through just one person. It stopped coming through every single one of them, except for Fred. Now, Fred was a little cautious, a little reluctant about wanting to have this voice come through him. But I would sort of gently coerce him to do it on occasion. And fortunately, I had the forethought to begin to record these sessions, which I later took to a medical transcriptionist, and this transcriber put them down onto paper, and we held on to them and contributed to them over the years through more sessions with this voice coming through Fred, which we came to term Solomon. And we just released this in a Hay House book. It's brand new. It's called Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life, and it's about allowing us to access deeper levels and truths of who and what we are, not only to facilitate healing as healing practitioners, but also to be able to simply access greater depths of who we are for our own life. And if you'd like, at some point I'll share some excerpts of it.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Why Fred? What was so special about him?
Lord only knows. This voice, for some reason, this intelligence has selected to come through Fred, and it had been. And if it only came through Fred, I would have thought what I thought in the beginning, that maybe it's something about Fred. If it came through me, I would have questioned my own sanity, and I don't really need to do that a whole lot more. But but it demonstrated that it had the ability to reach through this illusion of time and space and turn over 50 different living human beings into living broadcast systems speaking the very same words who never had a voice come through them before. I think the entire purpose of that was to get my attention in a way to say, if you deny the validity of this, you might as well bury your head in the sand.
Okay, so these things are going on. Does science ever get involved in this, Eric, to try to corroborate this?
You know, I was so happy that science was corroborating what was going on with reconnective healing that I didn't dare tell him about this channeled information. George, I want you to know I sat on this all this time, partly out of fear of what would happen to my reputation if we ever released it. But there's such truth in these pros that come out through this voice that I guess all of this was set up because the timing was to come about maybe after 2012. Maybe the timing is for us to begin to recognize that for us to stop looking at what makes us special and unique and to start to recognize that our purpose here is the compassion gained in learning to recognize and look at what makes each and every one of us the same.
More coming up with you, Eric, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, take a look at our television show, Beyond Belief. You can pick it up for 10 days free. And while you're doing that, look at all the videos free as well. Take advantage of that. Go to GaiamTV.com/George, GaiamTV.com/George, or pick up the link at CoastToCoastAM.com under Hosts. It'll be right there for you. It's a TV show that we tape, four of them a month. It airs at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Fridays, but of course you can watch it whenever you want on the Internet. Back in a moment. And welcome back, Dr. Eric Pearl with us. Eric, it seems, even talking with my guests last hour, that the other side is trying to help us in a lot of different matters, including, of course, taking care of ourselves. Why that reason? Why that connection?
Because we are not independent from the other side. They are not the other side. They are us. They are we, all of us, are a diamond, a perfect diamond. And there are different facets. And one facet doesn't always allow itself to see the other. It has to focus on perfecting that facet. And yet, the other facets all sense the presence. That as we evolve, as this level of humanity evolves, other levels of life form evolve, forms that have come before, forms that will come after, forms that are happening simultaneously. We focus in on what part of us is Pleiadian and what part of us is from Sirius and what part of us is from New Jersey. And yet, we're here to focus in on the whole. Listen to some of the information on this growth that Solomon brings through. Here's something that came through in May of 96.
All right.
We are here to understand your desire. We feel your energy forwarding toward the universe, and we are here now to represent a deeper understanding of that which is. We will begin this session by allowing ourselves to recognize the greatness that dwells within each one of us. We need only begin this by allowing our senses to be cleared of a formality. We need to address this in a very direct way by first releasing those energies that are thwarting our force. And we can allow this to happen by first believing that our life is eternal, for now we are connected to a much greater self. And in that moment, we release a force that connects us to that greater power. In the process of this thought, we connect to that which is, and we need only believe in our soul that we are there and we will be there.
So it's obviously then this connection, which is so critical. Yet at what point, Eric, can we do this on our own?
That is what Solomon is giving us, the insights to reveal our soul to ourselves so that we, once we recognize it, we share it with others. And we are doing this on our own, yet it's the insights that truly help and allow us to access what we're here to do on our own. Am I making sense?
I'm not following.
Not entirely.
No, go ahead.
Okay. All right. There's a lot that needs to be said in various ways. We understand ourselves in a limited fashion, and we need to carry this understanding as a life process. It's the unveiling of a multifaceted force within our lives. We need to peel away the exterior so that our internal being shines through. The soul that resides within this framework is covered up by fears, and in our work, that is what we need to do. We need to unveil our soul. How can we do this on our own? By looking inside. It's not about looking outside for someone else to help us. What Solomon does is he speaks in a way that resonates at a vibration of light, at a vibration of truth. And as we resonate at a continued vibration, what is not in sync with that vibration vibrates out of us, and we see more clearly. So it's a listening to the information, taking it in, even though it doesn't always make sense on a surface level, and allowing it to move around inside of us to vibrate out the density so we become more clearly aware of who we are. It's teaching not from a 1+1=2 level, but it's teaching by allowing our inner voices to step up loudly and clearly enough to be heard by us. And that's what we tend not to do. We tend not to listen to our inner truths because it's more comfortable for us to just make a lot of noise and drown out the truth that we know.
And when you talk about reconnective healing, it's not just health healing you're talking about, is it?
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Healing is so much more than regaining the use of an arm or a leg or a liver or a kidney. That is how it showed up, George. I mean, it showed up in the form of physical healings because that's what got our attention, people being able to walk and talk and run and play and, you know, reporting cancer tumors vanishing and all sorts of things. And that's like walking past a Mrs. Fields cookie store. And when you walk by, you smell the cookies because they keep the door cracked open and they have a fan blowing the scent out. And the white chocolate macadamia nut grabs you by the nose and pulls you into the store. And once you get inside, you find out there's more than just white chocolate macadamia nut cookies. These physical healings pulled us into the store. But what's really happening is that our bodies are functioning at a different level. We know this through science. Science is always running rapidly to catch up with truth. We know today that the body does not heal the way we were taught. It doesn't heal through biochemicals. It heals through frequency, informational exchange, vibration, light, resonance, entrainment. We know that the brain doesn't work the way we were taught. Remember those old models of the brain you'd see on the professor's desk and had all these circles over different areas saying this area is learning and this is speech and this
little
memory.
Did they not know, right?
Yeah, little did we not know. And you know, who knows how little we don't know today, but we maybe don't know a little bit more, if that even made sense. And what we do know from the works of Dr. Carl Pribram and Carl Lashley and others is that this model of the brain doesn't work anymore. We know that the information is not sitting around in little circumscribed areas waiting for us to discover it. We know that the information, A, is diffuse throughout our brain, and B, it's not just throughout our brain, but our brains access this information from a field, what science today refers to as zero-point field. There's a wonderful, exquisite book by Lynn McTaggart called The Field.
She's been on many times.
Right, where she has interviewed all these researchers and quantum physicists and then translated their work into a language I like to call English so the rest of us can comprehend it. And so what happens is, think of our brains. Well, here's what we know from 6 studies so far. We know that the reconnective healing frequencies is changing our very DNA. We know that the DNA in each of our cells emits levels of light. We know from the work of Dr. Fritz Popp in Germany and others that it's considered today that when our light is dimming, our health is diminishing. When our health is coming back up, that light is coming back up. So what happens then is that when the researchers say they're discovering frequencies of light that they haven't seen before in the reconnective healing spectrum, what happens is we entrain with that light, and it raises the light vibration and elevates its coherence to a point beyond which was just our natural healthy state when we were born, but brings us to a point where we vibrate beyond something that's been seen, so that densities and interferences with our body's functioning, with our brain functioning, fall away. It actually restructures, or as I like to say, it reconnects the DNA to bring about more coherent light levels. Now, think of our brains. Think of a computer. If you have a computer, what do you have? A computer by itself, you've got a metal box sitting in front of you, which by itself does virtually nothing. In order to get it to do something, we have to install a software program. And once we do, we're able to access information from within the computer, and we're able to access information from that multidimensional internet field out there somewhere. Upgrade the software in the computer. We get more information from within the computer and greater, faster access to that multidimensional internet field out there somewhere.
And the more you upgrade it, the better and the more efficient it becomes.
Of course. So then take this analogy. What if our brains are our hardware? What if our DNA is our software? And what if These six international studies so far, with a seventh one coming, are correct in that we are restructuring the DNA and raising the light coherence of the communication. Then what we are really doing when we are reconnecting, when we're interacting with the reconnection and the healing frequencies, is not just about physical healing. We are actually bringing about a human software upgrade, which allows for better access not only to the information within the brain, but better access to that zero-point field out there somewhere. Now, we access it already. It's not as if it's new. It's a software upgrade. We access this field when you put children on a school bus, one child falls asleep, and another child stares at the sleeping child until they wake up. They're in the field. Mm-hmm. When you think about a friend you haven't thought about in 15 years, and 15 minutes later the phone rings, you're in the field. So people who are psychics, people who are geniuses, people who are healers, they're not doing anything all that unusual. They're simply listening with a bit more sensitivity and probably a lot less self-consciousness to the information in the field, not second-guessing it as it comes in, and acting on it. This is part of our evolution. We are standing on the precipice of the next level of human evolution, and it doesn't come by us standing alone as if we are islands. It comes from us recognizing that we are one and the same, and that we are here to help one another, that 2013 is about no longer looking at what makes us separate and unique, which leads to conflict, which leads to war, which leads to lots of things that are not necessarily so desirable today. But it's about us learning to be willing enough to say, what makes us all the same? Right there, we pass through a level of ego that holds us back in our development, and we step into something more. But it's, again, the answers aren't necessarily black and white on a chalkboard. The answers are multidimensional. They vibrate within us. It's an exchange of not just the words, but an exchange of the energy that allows us to grow, that we share with one another. Your energy is compelling. When you speak on this show, people listen to what comes through you, and you're very powerful in that, but do you truly believe that it's just your words?
Let me ask you this, that this wireless internet that's out there, Lynn calls it the field, I call it the wireless internet.
That works for me. It's
constantly out there for us to receive. So how do you fix the hardware, the brain, to receive it?
All right. Well, it's there for us to receive, and we change in the reception of it, so we then contribute to it. It becomes it's a looping feedback system. How do we change to become more aware of it? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. How do you do that?
Well, one comes from a trust that there is something. Second comes from a saying, if there is, what might that look like? What might that feel like? Another comes from saying, am I willing to observe without judgment? Am I willing to observe and notice without having to know why? Because why and how become they're very natural, yet they're very disempowering questions, because as soon as we place something into a box of why and how, we say we know the answers, and it lies within this box. And therefore, what lies outside of the box cannot be right, and we don't allow ourselves to see those things. But when we're willing to not fully know how, when we're willing to say, I don't know, the potential of everything comes to us. We say, I don't know, however I see this possibility. I don't know, but I can see this possibility and this. And if I put this possibility together with this or this with that, I come up with what at first seemed to be better answers. But they're not really answers. They're the building blocks that allow us to ask yet better questions, because we really grow more from the questioning process, the seeking, than we do from the answers. Once we leave this body, we will know the reason for everything, that everything makes perfect sense. We will know the answers then, but there's a reason, and I've always wondered this. I've always asked this question, why aren't we just given the information here? But we're here, at least in this human earth form, to grow from the actual seeking of the answers.
So, you know, let's say the many people who listen to this program, Eric, truck drivers, people at home, law enforcement, if they want to get on this bandwidth, basically, how do they do that? Do they need the training? Can they do it on their own?
If you want to learn to facilitate reconnective healing, the training is the highest way to do it. But to access the truth of ourselves within and to get on this bandwidth itself, we can do it simply from the reading of it, because there's an exchange in the energy frequencies. When you read the works of Solomon Speaks, you go to another place and you entrain with a level of vibration. My father was a cop. My father was a cop, and then he owned a vending machine company. And you know what? Today, he does reconnective healing on specifically horses and dogs and larger animals. It's not about being a woo-woo, airy-fairy healer wearing turbans and moon and star earrings and walking around with giant wooden birds filled with a substance that looks like dirt that eat with chopsticks.
Though that works sometimes, too.
Yes, it does, but you know what else works equally well? A nice, comfortable pair of Gap blue jeans. The degree to which we decorate ourselves with the costume on the exterior is opposite, inversely proportional to the degree to which we own and recognize the truth of who we are. Seeking the truth, George, seeking the truth is simply enough to place us on that path where we begin to discover the truth. So how is to look, is to be willing to say, what did I miss in this picture, and what can I recognize if I don't assign it meaning, if I don't judge it, but I observe that, well, why is it that trees grow up and tree roots grow down? Children are born with two eyes and one nose. Where is this consistency coming from? Do we want to use the G word and call it God? Do we want to use the L word and call it love? Do we want to call it the intelligence of the universe? It doesn't care what we call it. And as soon as we start to recognize that only human beings care what we call it and yet argue and kill over what we call it, can we begin to recognize that maybe if we just start to observe, we'll discover what we've been missing.
Where does evil fit into any of this, Eric? Because I'm sure it could have a profound effect on this.
Well, I don't know what you're going to think about this, but I'm going to tell you I don't believe in evil. I believe that there are some seemingly horrible things that go on, and there are ugly and uncomfortable ways to learn lessons and beautiful ones too. And I don't know exactly how we base our decisions and make our choices. I know that I've told you years ago, I don't know if you recall it, my mother died giving birth to me and came back to life.
Yes.
And during that process, when she was presented to the light, she was given many, many, many of the secrets of the universe, why the earth was round, why the grass is green, why the sky is blue, how war is a temporary state of barbarism that we will move through, how utterly ridiculous it is for young men and women to go out losing their lives fighting political battles of older men and women. And I hear the music.
And that means we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.